thank my wife for playing the piano. And honey, would you look at number 175 just to see if you would be able to play that at the end? There is a fountain. It's got two flats in it. Okay. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27. Matthew 19, verse 27. Title of my message is The 11th Hour. The 11th Hour. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. This is after we saw the rich young ruler come to the Lord and asked him what good thing must he do to inherit eternal life. And of course, the Lord told him, keep commandments. He says, all these have I done from my youth up, if you remember his response. And then he says, one thing thou lackest, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, come follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven. Down here in verse 27, Peter, of course, is listening, and the disciples hear it. But Peter, often as being the spokesman for the disciples, says this to the Lord. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Interesting that the chapter closes with that verse, especially when we come to chapter 20 and the parable that we're going to read in chapter 20, which ends with verse 16 in chapter 20, verse 16. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. All right, now back to chapter 19 and Peter's question. His question is, what shall we have, Lord? I hear what you said to the rich young ruler. If he gives up all and gives his money to the poor, he'll inherit eternal life and he'll have treasure in heaven. Well, Lord, we, your disciples, we've given up everything. Given up our careers, our fishing careers. We left our nets behind, our boats behind. We've been following you these 3 years. What shall we have? What shall we have, therefore? The Lord's answer is, you're going to end up with everlasting life. That's what you're going to have. You're going to have everlasting life. Everyone who follows me and those who give up everything and even family and friends and everybody for my sake, for my name's sake. Now, I don't believe that means you're to hate everybody and hate your brother and sister and your wife and everybody for the Lord. But for Jesus' name's sake, for the cause of Christ, I'll give up all in order to serve him. You'll have everlasting life. And he says to them, "The first, many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Huh. The disciples might think of themselves as kind of the last, you know, we're kind of left behind. What shall we have, Lord? Don't worry. The last will be first. In my realm of thinking, in my kingdom, the last will be first. The first will be last. And then he goes on into chapter 20. And I want you to follow with me now in chapter 20, verse 1. 1 through 5. We're looking at what is called the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. 1 through 5. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. What we have here, we have the early morning hires. And then we're going to have the 11th hour hires. The early morning hours hires are sought out by the householder early in the morning. So they're going to spend the whole day working for a penny, all right? And then later on in the day, he goes back out, and he went out about the third hour, saw others standing idle, and he hires them. Well, now they're not going to work as much as the first ones, a little bit less. And then he goes out a little bit later, about the sixth and then the ninth hour, and did likewise. And he hired people to work in his vineyard. And as you probably know, when the day is over, he's going to give all of them the same amount. And so the early morning hires, they go right down to the ninth hour that the Lord hires them. Then verses 6 and 7. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Now the 11th hour hires. I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to work in the field or out in a farmer's field or anything. I can remember doing this when I was a youngster, and I got 50 cents an hour picking up rocks out of a potato field and putting the rocks on the back trailer that was hooked to a tractor. And we worked all day long, and that's all we did, was pick up rocks, put it on the back of that trailer, and we got 50 cents an hour. I don't think I would have been too happy if someone came along at the end of the day and only worked 1 hour and got the same amount of money as I got. I'd probably be, pretty much like these guys here. But the Lord's using this story as an illustration of his righteousness in doing what he sees the right thing to do. Often, what we think is the right thing is not the right thing. And I want to point out some things here. There's a problem. And it starts in verse 8 through verse 14. Listen to this. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers. All right, call them all in. Their work's done. Call them in. And give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. So the ones who were hired at the 11th hour are going to be dealt with first. And the ones who were there all day will kind of, we'll wait till the end to give it to them. Verse 9. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Maybe some of you think that's about all you get at your work, huh? like to get a raise. How about a penny for a whole day's work? Well, things obviously were different back then, and just what the worth of a penny was, I'm not certain. But that's really not the thing that's a matter here. The problem is going to arise in the next verse, verse 10. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them. I thought that was interesting, one of them. You think there was a ringleader? There probably was a ringleader here. Hey, guys, what do you think? What do you think about the good man giving them, stirring up trouble in the crowd? He said unto the one man and said, Friend. Oh, I like that too. How about that? Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way, and I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Now here's the problem. Those who worked longest thought the good man was unfair. Now, the Lord is using this as an illustration of laborers in his vineyard. And in the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord is presenting himself as the king over the kingdom of heaven. And he has the right to do whatever he wants to do. He's king. This man's the good man of the... He's the owner. He can do what he wants. He made a promise. He made a promise with these men who were hired in early morning. And he also said to the 11th hour hires, I'll give whatever is right unto you. And so they had a problem with someone who came to work late in the day getting the same wage. That was their problem. I see that problem as similar to those who think that because they have worked hard all their life, that they should make it to heaven before these others. And that maybe they have a better lock on the matter of salvation, eternal life, home in heaven, because they've lived their whole lives. The rich young ruler said to the Lord in response to keeping the commandments, from my youth up, I've done these things. In other words, why, I've spent my whole life doing these things. Isn't that good enough? Doesn't that warrant me some measure of merit or grace? Shouldn't I get more than maybe the other guy? There are people who think that because they were brought up in a church and that they were doing religious things and they did the best they could throughout their life, that somehow that merits them salvation in heaven. It doesn't. It won't. The rich young ruler, he had lots of things. A lot of people think if they've been blessed with things and possessions, and they also have religion as well, that kind of sets them in good state with the Lord up there in heaven. You know what? Possessions and things and even religious works have nothing to do with you meriting the grace of God through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Titus 3:5. I would like you to go there if you would. Can you find Titus chapter 3 and verse 5? You say, well, why do I have to go there? Can't you just read it to me? You need to see these things in the Bible. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Let me throw this in here as just a little pet peeve of mine. I know a lot of churches will have a screen up in the front here. And they will put the verses there for you. I'm old fashioned. Turn in your Bibles, okay? Learn to find things in your Bibles. Titus chapter 3 verse 5, a very beautiful verse. Look at this. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Folks, it's not how much time have you spent trying to do the best you can, working in the kingdom of heaven. By the way, the kingdom of heaven has both wheat and tares in it. Okay? It has good fish and bad fish in it. It has wise virgins and foolish virgins in it. And you may be one of them. You think that you're okay. Well, I've been doing the best I can. I've been working in the kingdom. I don't do too many bad things. I keep the commandments from my youth up. And, you know, I haven't really done too bad for myself. I possess things. And I also am not too bad socially. I care for people. I love people. I like them to do well. And I try to treat my fellow man the best I can. And on and on and on it goes. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You know, these 11th hour guys that got hired are being shown mercy when they're given the same amount as the ones who worked all day long. And really, the ones who worked all day long, really, And I know it might be hard because the fairness of it all and everything. This is, you know, this is the only place in the Bible where this parable is. And it's a difficult one. It's often a very difficult one for readers of the scriptures to read through and say, well, now, I understand that and I accept that fully. I agree with the good man of the house. Most of the time you're saying, it is a little, seems a little unfair that the guys who work all day get the same as the guys who just came in at the 11th hour. Would you go to the same gospel now, Matthew, back to chapter 7. Let's just go back a few chapters. Matthew chapter 7. And verse 21 through 23. This is also sometimes a little difficult to grab a hold of. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Isn't that a difficult passage? I mean, here's these people who have done all these things, religious works, and even good works. They were probably good socialists of their day, you know. Tried their best to help out their fellow man. And, you know, even if necessary, take from those who have, give to those who don't have. You know, I never knew you. I don't know who you are, the Lord says. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, in heaven, when you get there, nobody in heaven is going to be bragging about all the things they did to get there. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. And I want you to end this now. Lest any man should what?
Boast.
There is not going to be any boasting in heaven. Well, I worked all day long. How'd this guy get in here at the 11th hour? It takes more than, you know, the 11th hour to get in here. There's going to be no boasting in heaven. All that's going to go on in heaven is we're going to be thanking the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be thanking the Father for sending his Son to pay the price for our sin. And we're going to be lifting the praises of Christ Jesus our Lord for all eternity. Nothing about ourselves. No boasting about anything we've ever done. And yet a lot of people, when they're faced with to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and if you don't, you're going to on your way to hell. They want to put forth immediately, well, I'm not really so bad. I've worked all day long. I've worked my whole life. I've gone to church. I've been pretty good. In fact, God's even blessed me with things. And I've also been able to help people. And, you know, they bring those things in. I'm not one of these 11th hour. Oh. But I tell you what, the 11th hour salvation is the kind of salvation you need no matter what hour of the day you were hired to get busy serving the Lord. The Lord back in Matthew 20 says, and now I want to read verses 15 and 16. All right. These people got all together. They told the good man of the field, that of the vineyard, it doesn't seem fair that we should just get the same as those who came at the 11th hour. And he answered one of them, I do thee no wrong. That's what you agreed with. And I did what I promised you I would do. Verse 15. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. By the way, if you don't have a King James Bible, it does not say in your verse 16, for many be called, but few chosen. That's omitted. That whole section's omitted right out of your verse of Scripture, which I believe is a corruption of the Word of God. Hang on to your King James Bible, okay? Amen. Hang on to it, and you'll have what you need. But what do I want to do here? The last. All right, we know the first. They got hired. Everything was okay. And there were others who got hired during the day and everything. But these last. You know what I see that as similar to? The thief on the what?
Cross.
The thief on the cross. Would you go with me to Matthew? Stay right here in this gospel. Go to chapter 27, verse 43. Just go to Matthew 27, 43. This is the passage where we learn how Jesus was crucified. And he died for my sins and your sins. Amen for that. And in 27, chapter 27, at verse 34, it says this. They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled. Oh, by the way, if you have a King James Bible, here's how it reads. Verse 35. I hope you're there. See, that's why I don't put it up on the screen. I like you to be in your Bible. Listen to this, folks. Verse 35 reads this way. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots. Verse 36, and sitting down, they washed him. That's how the other versions of the Bible go. Did I not miss a whole section of a verse? You know what? Hang on to your King James Bibles, folks. You know, I hope you don't get tired of me telling you this, but there is a battle going on for the Word of God. And by God's grace, we're going to stand for the Word of God. And we're not going to give in to those who want to corrupt it. All right, but back there, verse 35, and they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Boy, look what you're missing if you don't have a King James Bible. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation, written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Notice, then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross and we will believe him. You know what? I'm so glad he didn't come down. I'm glad he stayed there because I'm saved today because he stayed there. The devil's crowd would have mocked him and tried to jeer him into getting off and saving himself. You know, I'm glad he didn't come to save himself. He didn't need to be saved. He came to save me and you. All right, going on. Now notice verse 43. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Now notice verse 44. The thieves, plural, both of them, the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. They were saying the same thing, both of them. But go to Luke 23, the blessed 11th hour. The householder went out in the 11th hour, hired some people for 1 hour. And gave them the same as those who were there all day long. Go to Luke chapter 23 and verse 39. Luke 23 verse 39. I'm not going to put it up on the screen. You got to look at it in your Bible. All right. Luke 23 and verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. One of the thieves said that to him. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? So here's the one thief talking to the other thief. Now, obviously, things changed from what we read in Matthew to this point at the time of the crucifixion. They were both railing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and now all of a sudden only one was, and the other was starting to rebuke the other thief. Verse 41, And we indeed justly. See, they were thieves, and they were hanging on the cross to die because of their thievery. Maybe our country would do well to do the same thing, huh? Yeah. These teenagers that were arrested just the other day, attacking a man and a woman, they were a fiancé, they were engaged to be married, attacking them with machetes. This is, I think it's pretty local. He actually had to use his bicycle to ward off the machete attack, and the kid hit it so hard that it broke the handle off the machete. They then followed these two into their house and beat them up and stole everything they wanted until they heard the police coming, and then they ran. And they were teenagers. This may sound rough. You may say, I don't think a preacher should talk like this. I think those teenagers, once they're caught and found, may very well need the death penalty. Amen. Okay. I just threw it out there. You say, well, it's their parents. Okay, then. Their parents ought to be held accountable. We're living in bad days when we have these kind of things going on in our... But we indeed justly. We're hanging here on the cross justly. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, pointing to Jesus, hanging in the midst of them, hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, if you don't have a King James Bible, it doesn't say Lord. But mine says Lord. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, you know, if you don't have a King James Bible, it doesn't say Jesus said, it just says, and he said. No, my Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee. Listen to this, folks. 11th hour. Is this the 11th hour for this man? Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You talk about an 11th hour. That's got to be it right there. You know what most people have a problem with this passage? You know what the problem a lot of people have with this passage? How can this man be saved and go to heaven when he waited till the last minute to get saved? He waited till the end to trust the Lord Jesus. People have problems with this passage. There are some groups, of course, who teach baptismal regeneration who have a problem with this because they can't have enough time to get them off the cross, baptized, so that he can be saved, and then put them back on the cross and let them die. Their doctrine is so bad and pathetic. When they want to argue with you about baptismal regeneration, they want to say, we will not talk about the thief on the cross. Why not? That's the one I do want to talk about. I'm thanking God for the 11th hour salvations that do take place. I'm glad that right up to the last moment of your life, the last breath you take, you can call upon the name of the Lord as your personal Savior, and He'll save your lost soul. Take you to heaven. Why? Because you don't have to work all day in order to merit it. All you have to do is take the Lord at His word. And the ones who were hired in the early morning were told, I'll pay you a penny. And the ones at the 11th hour He simply said, and whatever is right, I will do it. And you know what? The Lord always does that which is right. Let me close with some verses in Proverbs and we'll go home. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. And Sam, would you for a moment pause? Proverbs 14, verse 12. Think of those early hires and the late hires. The first ones as opposed to the last ones. The last shall be first and the first shall be last. All right. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Chapter 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. That's what I see of those people that were hired early. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. You know, no matter what you think, God knows what you're thinking in your very heart. Verse 8. The way of a man is forward and strange. I'm in Proverbs 21, 8. But as for the pure, his work is right. Are you one of the pure ones? I hope so. Back in Matthew 20, those words that I said are missing out of your corrupt versions, but for many be called, but few chosen. I'm not going to bypass those words and say, well, you know what? The Calvinist really loves that verse there. You know, many are called, but few are chosen. Did you ever hear of the blessed Calvinist doctrine called limited atonement? Why, it's a beautiful doctrine. I think it's a heretical, blasphemous, damning doctrine. That's what I believe. Well, it says right there, many are called, but few are chosen. See, God only wants certain ones saved. Many be called, but few chosen. Would you go to verse 28, same chapter. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Oh, see that? It says many. It doesn't say all. It just says many. Limited atonement. Only certain ones are ransomed. Okay. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. You said, I thought you were going to be done with Proverbs. I know, sorry, I messed up. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6. Let's read this all together, okay? And see if you end up being Calvinists after you're done reading this, all right? Or if you become Biblicists. All right, I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. In fact, why don't we read verse 5 and 6 together? All right, everybody together out loud. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for many. Oh, did I misquote? I led you astray. I'm sorry. Let's all read verse 6 together again correctly this time. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I don't believe that when the word many is used in other places that that is to subtract some. It's just that when God, through Christ Jesus, pays the ransom for all, that's a lot. That's many. Okay? Don't believe it's limited in any sense at all. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. These poor guys, I tell you what, they're bad Bible teachers, and you do well to stay away from them. And just hang on to your King James Bible. It's interesting. Most Calvinists don't have any problem with the New Modern Versions. And yet, a verse that would help them out, that they would think, leaves out that section. But many are called, or few are chosen. So they got to go somewhere else to find that same doctrine. I like it when God fools around with their mind. Plays games with them. Oh boy, hang on. The 11th hour salvation is just as good as if you got saved in the beginning of the day. Thank God. There's been some times that I've led someone to the Lord, and maybe you have too, and they didn't have much time left to live in this world. I thank God for the 11th hour. And so, honey, would you come? Turn to number 175. And we're going to sing just two verses of There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood. And the reason is because the second verse talks about the dying thief. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. If you can stand, let's stand as we sing number 175, just the first two verses, and then we'll be going home.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away.
And it's all the same. Grace is what saves. Not how long have you worked, but how wonderful and complete is the grace of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.